We had an opportunity to speak with the relative of a producer who is born and raised in Iraq. Her name is Ida, and these are a few words that was written by Donna of her aunt. She says, "Ida is the sister of my mother. She is the hero of my childhood, the defiant Iraqi aunt who traveled alone, spoke languages, bought a Commodore computer in the safe early 80s, and learned to use it before anyone else." We had an opportunity to speak with her about the impact of war and occupation on her life. We bring you this exclusive interview from Iraq, recorded just today on the one-year anniversary of the day the bombs fell, March 19th, 2003.
Ida, you've had the experience in the last year of living through a war and currently living in an occupation. And I wonder if you would like to tell our listeners what this last year has been like for you, given that March 19th is the one-year anniversary that the bombs began to fall on Baghdad most recently.
The war start like today, like this night. They start bombing us. And it was really terrible. It was like nightmare to every person in Iraq. We didn't believe it would happen like this. This war, it was illegal, honestly. We've been hurt a lot, and we're still suffering. It's still a year now. Today is a year. I lost my son in this war. And he was such a lovely boy, full of love, full of help to everyone who needs him. The American, when they came to Iraq, they destroyed Iraq completely. They bombed all the ministries, all the banks, all the good area. I mean, even university, college, they bombed. Just the only oil ministry they didn't bomb, because they have, that's what they want to. That's why they came to. This is, now everybody believes that, not just the Iraqi people. I think all around the world, they know the Americans, they came for the oil. Well, it's so hard to tell you what I went through this here. As I told you, they destroyed my country. They destroyed my family. They destroyed me completely after I lost my son. I go every night to sleep. I cuddle his pictures and his photo, and I pray from God that I dream in him. In the name of God, I beg everyone to pray for him, because he was really innocent, and all his fault, he's Iraqi. He's a student. He had his dream to finish the study and to build his life, to have children later on when he grown up and when he got married. It's so hard. I can't forget his pictures when he's gone, because still it's a year, but I don't believe it. Still, I hear his knocking on the door, like he's coming. The way he used to have his bath, sometimes I believe he's having his bath still. His clothes, his room, like it is, like he left it. Well, he went to help people and all the area. They've been bombing our area, and the house been really, really, frightened. I mean, the bombing was that night too much for us. So the whole boys, they went, and men to help, and even women. That night went around 65 persons. They've been killed that night. When we went to the hospital. They said, the doctors, they've been shocked. They said, please tell us what they thrown on you. It was the first cluster bomb they throw in our area. My son, he went to help with his friend. They carried the first person. They put him on the one side of the road, and they went to carry the second person and the airplane. The pilot came.
Great. The line just got cut there. Hello?
Yes, I can hear you. Kate.
Okay. Sorry about that. The line just got disconnected. I'm not sure why.
Don't worry.
Okay.
Don't worry. It's nothing to harm me, really. Just
okay. Okay. You were talking about the night that your son...
The
went
line is not clear.
It's not clear? Do you want me to try
now
back?
Now it's better.
It's better now?
No, now it's better.
Okay. You were talking about the night that your son went out to help, the night that the bombs fell on Baghdad.
Yeah. That night, I mean... Before that, we were preparing everything for the war. We're preparing the windows from the chemical weapon. We know it won't help, but we try to protect ourselves. Till last moment, till the first bomb, we didn't believe it will happen because we used to look on television and. We see most of the people, they were against the war. The Iraqi, we were praying that the war won't happen. But when they start bombing, it was really very hard, and I can't really explain to you my feeling because I have 3 boys, and I went running to them to wake them up, to bring them down from the rooms. The house was shaking. Even my house is a very large and a new build and good build, but still the bombing, the weight of bombed, the weight of missiles or the amount of missiles or the weight of bombing seems it was too much for the Iraqi, which was really different than the war between Iraq and Persian and different than the war 90, where the Bush, the father, started. It was completely different. It was very, very heavy and very strong, and we were so many nights I was crying. But to be honest with you, I'm not frightened, not the person or my personality. I'm not afraid from these things, but it was that hard and that quickly, the bombing, and all around the area, they didn't choose places. I mean, a lot of houses fall down with a lot of families. Some houses, they had 20 person, they die. So we don't know when is the time comes to us to be killed. And like nightmare. I can't explain to you because it was really the bombing. When I used to see the bombing in the films about Vietnam and the wars before, now I realize how it seems the same. When I see in the films the plane goes and through the rockets and the missile and the bombs. That's what happened to us. All the windows broke down. Civilian people in the houses, all of a sudden you hear your neighbor or your relative, rocket went to them area, and a lot of people just died for no reason. And it's really upset and sadness, which we try we didn't have any, we can't do anything about it. We couldn't do anything about it. Just praying from God to help the Iraqi and the civilian people. It was really very, very, very bad time to the Iraqi people. I don't know how we're going to live and really change our personality and change our deep down, our heart. I mean, upset, really still we're upset. The young generation, I don't know how they grown up with this chemical or the weapon. I mean, they threw the, I believe all of them, they're going to have some disease, and we still a lot of people suffering from the rockets and from the war. Till today we saw about people with no leg, with no arm, asking some people to help them to send them abroad to make leg for them or to help them, because also a lot of families, they lost a father and they don't know how to live. All right, we are in good position. I mean, we've got money. We can manage how to live. But a lot of Iraqi people, they've been really suffering and lost them jobs and no work at all, just who works with American. And I believe 90% gets to work with American because they didn't do anything for Iraqi yet, really.
I wanted to ask you about your reaction to the bombing. You brought up something very, very interesting when you said that when you cried after the bombs fell, it wasn't tears of fear. You weren't frightened. So when you cried when the bombs fell, perhaps you can describe to us what was going through your mind. You talked about how you didn't believe up until the moment that the bombs fell that there was actually going to be a war, even with all the posturing of Bush, Rumsfeld, Powell, the failure of the talks at the UN, the mobilizations in the streets. You were still convinced that this war was not going to happen. And then March 19th came.
Yeah, came, because, you know, all the picture, I think around the world they were carrying candles and walking to the embassies, American embassies, and beg them not to shoot or not to make the war. So we believe they might, them heart might change, I mean, the feeling. But since this family, Bush family, since the war in them blood, the father did the first war and the son did the second. I cried. We used to hide in one corner of the house because we have a big house, and I used to wake them in the midnight, sometimes midnight, 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the midnight. They used to start bombing, and we don't know from where. Sometimes we want to run to the garden, but still it's all fire around. And I used to cry because I see my country burning, and I felt in that time something will happen, because that much of bombing, you can't believe nothing, you won't be hurt. I believe we will be hurt, somehow we'll be hurt, and it was really upsetting. I mean, upset me so much, and I don't know what to do, cuddling my son and praying from God. My neighbor, she had only one daughter. She went on Valium because she scream each time she hear, and she phoned us, please come to me. My daughter went in coma because we can't. I mean, imagine, I don't know how many, the weight of bombing or the weight of, it was really miserable war. So
Ida,
all our, yes.
Can you talk about the ways in which people are working together to try to survive these situations. You talk about how individuals have been impacted, how people's dreams have changed. Can you talk about the ways in which people have learned or have taken the time to work together to survive?
Yeah. It was in that time when we really, the like the baker, they stop open and we don't have a bread. We start helping the woman who really in their neighborhood knows how to cook a bread. She used to help people, I mean, who doesn't know how to cook bread, and teach us slowly till we learn. I mean, every woman start learning how to make bread in her house. Imagine, just all of a sudden, from traveling around the world and having long nails, and how many years became behind. You have to cook bread on wood. We used to lit wood, and because we don't have gas, we don't have paraffin, we don't have, they don't open the baker. We try to help in the school. I used to go every week to see the marks and to see how my sons, and a lot of mothers like this. We used to try to help. We used to buy them stuff what they need to help. We used to get money from each person, each boy, to help, to, because the school, they were really miserable. I mean, empty, the stool broken, I mean, nails, and the nails coming up the wood, and some of the children, they don't have a desk to sit at, they sit on the floor. So we decide, the headmaster, she decide, we try to put our hand together, and we got some money and to let them sit. We try, the people who got money help, give the old clothes to the people they don't have clothes. The teacher, you can see really, I saw that in my eyes, teacher in very cold weather. She used to go to the school without socks because her salary is not enough. So we used to buy her as a present in teacher day. Things she needs, I mean, the things we think is important, because she's doing her job without comparing with other countries for nothing, because they pay her one, with them, our money is only $1. I mean, what it will do for her to feed her children or to what? And the life, I mean, the things in shops are expensive. I mean, so this is the life.
The situation today, Aida, is it better now that we're a year after?
It's worse, really worse, worse, worse. I mean, day after day goes, the things goes really. I mean, today I'm sitting and wish I go back to yesterday, or even, this is the minimum to yesterday, because I believe yesterday it was better. And not to say to go back for 20 years. Of course, I wish I go back to 20 years back. But day after day, it seems very, very bad. I mean, no way. I mean, all right. I mean, we got money, but other families, I mean, I saw them really, they come knocking the door for a bit of sugar. Old ladies in the street asking you for a little bit of money, or that you can see them searching in where the restaurant is throwing. I mean, I feel sorry if my children, they don't eat them full plate. I put what's left in the freezer and keep them for people who come and knock the door and give them, because I think it's not fair to throw the food in the bin as a rubbish when people are starving, really. because the American, they don't give salary to everyone, really, and no jobs now. I mean, all my friends, doctors, engineering, I mean, everyone, I mean, no way to work. It's very hard. Or you work with American, and it's really dangerous, because we don't know. It seems they end up killed somehow. We don't know, because I don't believe just the Iraqi killed them, because last week it was... just now, three bombing, they went very hard, very loud, and near, and these are rockets. I mean, how Iraqi got rockets? There is no army in the country. They finished the army, the American, when they came, they finished. I don't know, there is no jobs. I mean, a lot of people... My husband used to have travel agency, and now it's closed because no airplanes, no traveling, nothing. This is about us, and also a lot of people, they don't have any work, and it's really, really very bad condition, and we don't know where is the money they found after Saddam, even after when the war started. They found, as they used to put as reporting in television, we found such a million dollar in that house, and they put it in television. And we used to have a lot of money in Iraq. I mean, we know these families, they kept a lot. Houses and houses they put in television. That's what they found. Some houses they found $2 million in it. They hide it. The regime, and they took it, the American, where it is, why they don't give it to Iraqi people. Where's the paraffin they sell, the oil they sell? So people really suffering now in Iraq. I'm planning to make Dana.
Yep.
Dana.
Yeah, you did.
Jam'iyya?
A co-op. She's planning on arranging a co-op. It's a co-op, Khala.
Yeah, to ask the people, each person, I mean, as me and my neighbors and who really got enough money, I mean, to survive, to give even $1, at least to help these people, which is really starving. And people, they have cancer, they don't have money for medicine. I mean, I'm trying to... and I'm planning, but the situation in Iraq won't help. I mean, people really suffering in hospitals. There is no medicine, no ambulance. I mean, now if anything happened in the house, in any house, in Iraqi house, it's very hard to go to hospital, especially in the midnight, because you have to put in your mind you might kill by American. They might shoot you in the night if you go.
Can you talk about the impact of the war on your kids? In which ways you as an older person, as a parent, are able to talk to your children about war, talk to your children about occupation, especially considering that this war has come into your home? These bombs have landed on your family. These soldiers have come into your house. How do you digest that as a family, as a mother?
Well, as a mother, I said to them, please don't do anything. Just be quiet and don't say anything to them, because it seems not the Arab are terrorists, really, but as my son, they were one of them 19, one of them 16, and one of them 14. They are a bit, I mean, a grown up and the teen age. So they don't, they see it hard that somebody comes from all that way to come to break to his country, to break to his house, and they've been asking how they come to our house, and it is like Jewish, what they're doing with Palestine people. We said to them, we try to explain to them, we don't know what it will be really in that time before the war. We sat before the war, we arrange, we buy candles, we buy paraffin, we said to them, if all of a sudden something fall on, we have to care, we have to be all the time together. At least we help somebody, I mean, father help mother, mother help son, son help father and mother. So we and I bought medicine, I showed them what to do and to help each other if really something. And we choose a place in the house where we hide, which is really safe because the way it's built, if the house falls down and it will, we choose the corner. So we told them everything. We prepare, we have a swimming pool, we fill the swimming pool with water in case the water goes out, I mean, shorted of water. We try, they help, we do everything. But we didn't believe how hard it will be. We couldn't believe that the war will be like this, which is unbelievable what happened to Iraqi people, I mean. It's like some, and my son, they were really, they changed completely, not just my son, all the girls in them age and all the boys in them age, they don't have any dream anymore. Even if they have a dream, they don't know if they go and they will wake up alive in the morning. We don't know. I used to love airplane, but now when fly over my house, my heart goes down because it seems like the voice of the airplane signs of death for me because. Not just me. I mean, even the especially poor children, babies. They, if you see the fear in them eyes and the way they shivering and they crying when bombing. I mean, I saw this around the area and our neighbors and our relatives. I mean, it's really, really upsetting. I don't know. I mean, I want to go to that bush. Mind to see why. I mean, he doesn't have any feeling. I mean, he didn't see these things. I mean, they don't have enough work doing for Palestine people, and now they coming to Iraqi people, which is, I think it's not fair. It's all the war, it's not fair. It was just for the oil. I mean, we wish now they took the oil and they leave us in peace. We wish we don't have oil. We don't have money in Iraq because now we see how Jordan are safe because they don't have anything, not just because of weapon. We have weapon or chemical because now a lot of very high position people in army in U Kingdom and in America that they admit we don't have any weapons or any forbidden things. And even if we have, why it's not allowed for us and it's allowed for Israel and for other countries which they like? Or if we have it, it should be to protect our country, and this is fair enough to everyone person to protect his country, but it seems it's all a game. I mean, I don't know how they decided, because now everybody, and even Bush and even Powell and even a player, they believe it's no weapon in Iraq. So why this damn war coming to us? Just God knows that. Really, it's not fair. We are all people live in peace. We never hurt people. We're all full of love. I mean, the Iraqi people, a lot of people knows them. I mean, they really got good heart and full of love, full of generals. I mean, they help. I mean, you can ask the people who came to Iraq. I mean, we really helped the stranger. We're really full of love to everybody, which is not fair. This war, damn war, came to us, really destroyed us, destroyed our feeling. We're still good people, still even the world, destroy our dream, yeah, our dream and our life. I mean, we live, we don't know what it's going to be. I mean, just bodies walking around. So what America gave us? Nothing. They didn't give us anything.
But they took a lot from you, Ida. Your son...
They took a lot.
Your son...
They took a lot, a lot, a lot. I mean, now they're planning to fill all... with our oil, and they pulled... The beginning of the war until today, they a lot of Iraqi people. I mean, we lost a lot. Each family lost. In my area, one family lost 8 persons in one night. Just imagine. I mean, I saw that lady was lying down beside my son. She lost her husband, her children, her mother, just her father and her and tiny baby who just born. And when the morning came about the baby, she died. And imagine just her and father, a person. How is she going to live? I don't know how she going to live. I lost one person, and I pray every day I die. I mean, I don't want to live anymore and to be through this and to see American walking around. And they might shoot my other son all of a sudden for no reason. Because once I was in my car, and two American car, Hummer, which they call it Hummer, they went before me. I went to school of my son, and all of a sudden, it was explosion. And they start shooting left, right, front, and I came out of my car, putting my arm over my head. Just imagine a woman doing that. And I said, I've got nothing to do with that. And they said, we know. But they didn't. They start shooting. A lot of people dying in the street for no reason. For no reason, just because we were in the street. I mean, I lay down on the floor at the beginning of the explosion. And I don't know if I go out now, if I come back for my children. I kiss them and I say bye-bye. In my heart, I say, I wish I come back to see you. Or when they go to school, I kiss them and cuddle them and I say, I wish God will save you and bring you back to me. I mean, this is all the mothers. This is when we talk in telephone to each other. This is what America gave us. Fear, starving people, seeing people in hospital without leg, without medicine. I mean, really, really upsetting, really. I mean.
Ida, tomorrow there's going to be a demonstration around the world to say what you are experiencing now, what America has given you, is wrong and should be ended, should be stopped right away. Can you talk about why people should be taking to the streets tomorrow, why it's important for people who are in Iraq, who are in Canada, why it's important for them to stand up and stand up together in opposition to war and occupation?
I wish I'm the first one who goes out, really. I wish I'm the first one who goes out and give my voice and give my feeling to people, which is, and explain, even in one, if I have a piece of paper written about the war. I think it's one word from me, one word from the others, one word. I wish it will be enough to stop this damn war in Iraq immediately and stop it anywhere. I wish all the mothers have explained to all the mothers. I give my voice and I say to every mother around the world, go on and say no for the war, because you don't know, one day you might be hurt by this, any war will happen. So I wish I'll be the first one who walk, but you know, it's not security. And I wish, really, I heard today in television that the Iraqi people, they will go tonight, they started tonight going walking, and but I'm afraid if the American, they start shooting them. I know country worth, but still I have two children. But if I don't have my children, I will be the first one walking, and I don't care if they shoot me. But I know my sons, they need me. So I say to every person around the world, please go and say no for the war. Any war, anywhere. Because if the people who didn't go through what I went through, it's really hard, and it's really bad, and end of the life. I believe it's end of the life. We say we should live, we should carry on, but deep down, you can't help it. It's end of the life when you lose somebody really dear to you, and especially son, and each mother could be in my place. I mean, I wish not any mother would be hurt really. But this is what will happen if they give them voice to all together and put hand in each hand. If just mother will be enough, I believe. But still, sometimes, well, they did the best, some people before, but before the war starts, but it seems they didn't listen. But I know now. I mean, is the American women and mothers knows how many American killed now? I know it's, well, the number they give is not right. A lot of people of American, really, America lost a lot, but justice for Bush desire, I mean, it's, he wants to prove that he's really the best man or something, or he cares about the American. If he is really cares about the America, why he choose this war? Because even American soldier, a lot of American soldier being killed, and the numbers is not right what they given. Sometimes they said just two American killed, which is, I've seen in my eyes, I mean, four American and or six American killed in one explosion. So I agree with them, and I wish I'm the first one who walk and carry flower and candle for the people who die in Iraq, and every person carry flower and candle to every person being hurt in any war in the past and now, and I hope this is the last war in the world, because I don't believe there is any war comes worse than this war.
Ida, for our listeners who have just met you in this last hour, for our listeners who are just having the opportunity to hear an Iraqi mother, an Iraqi woman, an Iraqi speak about the occupation, for those people who have had the pleasure, the opportunity to hear you speak for the first time, do you have anything else that you want to add to this conversation, to this discussion, Do you have anything else that you want to suggest to people who are listening to an Iraqi woman, an Iraqi mother, an Iraqi for the first time?
Yeah. Well, I say to them, to everybody, to each person listening to me, first of all, pray for my son and pray for each Iraqi people to be live as a human being like the others, because we don't have anything to do with this war. It's all our fault. We have oil. And I wish, I say thank you a lot for any person who give his voice. It was if it's a woman and a man, a young boy, a young girl. I mean, to each person, I would say really, really thank you if you give your voice to stop this damn war in Iraq and to stop any war will happen. And I say, please, please pray for my son to be in peace. And I believe he's in peace because he's innocent and he's only 16. And I believe God will never forgive his people. And especially it was really hard for me. And I wish nobody will go through what I went through. And I wish somehow people not just judge Saddam Hussein for what he's done to Iraq. I wish people will be strong in America and around the world to judge Bush as well, because what Saddam did in 35 years, I believe Bush did that in, did more than that in 1 year. Because I mean, I can't see that through the television, through when I go on the street, when I used to. I mean, really, really, we lost everything in the life. We are just body walking around. And as I said to you, really, thank you to you, Gretchen. Thank you to Dana to give my voice to everybody. And just imagine to any woman I say, just imagine and remember me when I saw my son in bed, lying in bed full of shot from his head to his toe. And he keep crying, not crying, I was crying, not crying, just he said to me, please, mommy, don't cry. I'll be fine. And I wanted to cuddle him, and he said, please, mommy, forgive me. And he said to his daddy, please, daddy, forgive me for what I put you through. And he didn't do something wrong. He did something good to help people. I mean, just imagine, just to any woman and to any man, to just put this idea in his mind and just think what I went through, what we went through, and I say thank you for you to give my voice to know what's going on in Iraq. And and really, really, really thank you. I mean, and wish you pray with me for Fahad. Not this Friday, today is Friday. Next Friday, now the third Friday, I mean 2nd of April, it will be the year when he died. So thank you a lot, Gretchen, to give my voice to everybody.
Ida, I want to thank you very much for taking the opportunity to speak with us as we come to the one-year anniversary, not only of bombs falling on Iraq, but the death and the loss of your son. So thank you very much for speaking with us and speaking to people here in Canada who are asking themselves, after a whole year of occupation, after two decades of war and sanctions, some people are asking, is it really important to go out and mobilize in the streets against this war? People are asking, is that still necessary at this time to continue talking about the occupation in Iraq? And I think this conversation with you has clearly illustrated that there is still a need. People are still being impacted by this war and occupation, and you have very clearly illustrated that and have given very clear examples of what people can do here in order to support you and support the rest of the Iraqi people who are still caught in this occupation. So thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you to you. Thank you to you. And I hope one day we meet each other.